in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
You need to understand that life is spiritual. Did you hear what I just said? You need to understand the spirituality of what? Of life. This physical life that you see has its root in the realm of the spirit. Life is deeply rooted in the spirit realm. If you are ignorant of this truth, if you don't understand the spirituality of life, then you will end up a victim. You will end up a victim. Instead of walking in dominion, you will end up being dominated. You will end up being dominated by the forces, the elements of this world, by demoniacal forces. Am I communicating? Life is spiritual. And a thorough understanding of this fact and the spiritual laws, that control and makes for dominion in this earth realm, is what will put you in charge. When you have a thorough comprehension of these spiritual laws and you engage them with understanding, you will walk in dominion. You will walk as a victor in this realm. Am I communicating? As more than a conqueror. If you don't understand it, then you will end up a victim of circumstances, a victim of demons and satanic oppression and humiliation. Am I communicating? Life is very spiritual. You must learn to tame life from the realm of the spirit. You must learn to control life from the control room, which is in the realm of the spirit. You must stand in that control tower, which is the spirit realm, and remote control life from there. Am I communicating? And as far as walking in dominion in this earth realm is concerned, prayer is a major. Prayer is a major spiritual law for dominion. Am I communicating? You cannot function in dominion in this earth realm without understanding and engaging the laws of prayer. Am I communicating? Very important. Very important. It's spiritual forces that control the happenings in this realm. Spiritual forces. And it's in the place of prayer that we provoke spiritual forces for our advantage. We provoke and unleash spiritual forces and spiritual power to tame life. Am I communicating? To influence the happenings in this realm for our favor. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Kito balatia. Embreketos kabalakata. You see, Africa especially is a very spiritual environment. You need to understand. Nigeria is a very spiritual. In fact, some natural laws and principles that are supposed to work, you'll be surprised that they are not working in Nigeria. If you go to another, maybe go to US or UK, those natural forces will work flawlessly. But you'll be in Nigeria applying the same thing, it will not work. It's a very spiritual environment we live in. And you will be doing yourself a great harm if you are carnal, if you are not spiritually minded. Am I communicating? You will carry leadership principle from John C. Maxwell that is supposed to work. Life is spiritual. Nigeria, Africa, is a very spiritual continent. This is a very spiritual country we are living in. Am I communicating? To make progress, to fulfill your prophetic destiny, to make headway, you must become spiritually minded. You must engage spiritual laws to provoke spiritual forces that will influence this life, influence things in your favor, influence people for your advantage. Am I communicating? I was doing counseling recently. A woman, somebody told me about a woman that was very sick, suffering diabetes and a terrible complication. She was even on oxygen in Jute. Discharged her just a few days ago. She came to see me. As she was just entering my office, I was seeing the spirit of death. The spirit of death. Hovering, hanging over her like a dark cloud. Life is spiritual. That was what I was seeing. The spirit of death. If that woman had not come, she would have died. I'm telling you. Because I had to minister to her and cast out that spirit. You see, people move around. For some other people, it may be a spirit of disfavor. So that anywhere they go, they reject them. They suffer disfavor. They wonder, why is it that nobody wants to help me in this life? They will suffer. Hi. See, if you don't understand the spirituality of life, you will be frustrated. You will suffer defeat when you should not, as a believer. Life is spiritual. Some ladies wonder, why is it that the only set of guys I attract are vain fellows? You know what we call vain fellows? Vain fellows. NFA. You know NFA? No future ambition. These guys are very useless people. They are the only set of people that always ask them out and say they want to marry. The guy, his gene is falling here. Say he wants to marry you. All responsible people will never ask them out. One thing you don't understand is that there is something they see that is attracting them. You need to deal with that thing. The problem is not with them. Are you getting me? For some other ladies, it's only men that just want to have sex with them. That's the only kind of people they always attract. Some, they only attract elderly and old men. Married men, self. Some ladies like that. That's the only category of this kind of now. Only married men, old people. Now they always ask them out. They even want to marry them. A second wife or third wife. Go punish devil. I get him. See, there are some things you need to be angry in your spirit. Your spirit needs to rise up. How can a young lady? Just how many years you have been raped 5 times? 5 times. Rape, 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 rape. Something is wrong somewhere. Are you getting me? What is it in me that is attracting rapists? You need to talk to yourself. And you need to deal ruthlessly with those demons, those spirits. You know, there are some ladies, they move around with one kind of spirit that any guy that sees them will want to lust after them. It's as if they are selling spirit of lust. They will now wonder, why is it that they want to always have sex with me? Why is it that they always rape me? It's because there is a spirit you move around with that makes people to lust after you, even on to raping you, not just to have sex with you. You need to handle it in the place of prayer. You need to generate fire power. Am I communicating? Some guys have married Mami Water without knowing. Some men, some guys, they have married Mami Water spirit without knowing. The thing is all about the physical beauty, the shape, the fine face and all of that. They cannot discern that this is an agent from the pit of hell sent to finish them. Life is spiritual, I'm telling you. Is it not my wife? She's here. That was ministering, doing counseling for a lady, and suddenly the spiritual husband that is spiritually married to the lady suddenly responded and reacted to my wife. The wife said, that means you have a spiritual husband. And then the spiritual husband spoke through her clean English. This is a lady that is finding it hard to speak good English. The spiritual husband responded. In fact, she started counting that they have how many children in the spirit world? 3. Marine world, they have 3 children. Even mentioned, they gave them names. You are laughing. See, you don't understand this life. You don't understand what we are dealing with. Life is spiritual. Is it tribal name they gave them? 3 children. The spirit husband was angry. And that spirit husband has been warning her not to come to AJMI. Because when demons see fire, they know. When they see place that fire day, they don't want many people come. You know that the person will be set. In fact, the demon was even telling my wife that, I have power. Hey, was even laughing. Tell him, I have power. But power past power. Hey, are you listening? What did I say? Power past power. When a lesser power meets a higher one, what will happen? It will what? Dobale. It has to bow. My wife ministered to her, casted out that yeye spirit. Spirit husband, nonsense, casted out that demon, set the lady free, and since then he no come back. We're talking with the lady, he say he no come back again, he no go ever come back. He don't jam trailer, he don't jam rock. I get him. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. I had an auntie that had children for 5 different men, and she was not married to any of them until she died, and she died of HIV. And 2 out of those 5 men are Muslims. And it was the last one, a Muslim man, that gave her HIV. She did not know that her life was being remote controlled by demons. I didn't know the things I knew now, I would have helped her. Honestly. Life is very spiritual. There are some families that look, It's as if the demons have vowed that nobody will marry in this family. But they are free to have children for people out of wedlock. They can be pregnant for this one out of wedlock, but to marry for where? It's not normal. How can in a whole family, all the ladies, all the females in the family, all of them have children out of wedlock? Is it normal? Are you getting me? Life is spiritual. Life is very spiritual. A lady went home with her fiance that they are planning to marry. They've agreed to marry. She went to brought the guy to introduce to her parents. The guy said, "Take me to your people, let me see them." Then they introduce to the mother. Mama see, oh, and the guy who I won't marry with this. After the whole thing, the mother laughed. He said, "You know, no say this family, they know they marry. Say me, am I married? Because even the father have left the mother." He said, "Am I married?" "Okay. Your sister, firstborn, is she married?" "There are like seven girls in that family, and none of them is married. And she is the last born. First is not married. Second is not married. Third is not married. Fourth, not married. Fifth, and all of them, they can have children with men. But marriage for where?" And then it down on the girl that there is what? Warfare over the marital destiny of the people in that family. See, to fulfill your destiny, you must be a fighter. You must have what we call the fighting spirit. Don't just accept things that come. Don't just accept and tolerate nonsense. You must have a fighting spirit. Are you getting me? You must have a fighting spirit. You must have a fighting spirit. There is a military chaplain name withheld from my place. At a point, this man he was a colonel. Then he went on before he was promoted to the rank of a brigadier general. He was the chaplain in the church, in the Protestant church, St. Matthew Protestant Church, in my barracks then, Gawan Barrack, Metama Abuja, now Mambila Barrack. A close friend to my dad, he's even from my place, the same tribe. This man, nice man, he was the reverend, the vicar, chaplain in our church. Then they promoted him to brigadier general. He was so happy. To celebrate it, he took one trailer of drinks, soft drinks, trailer to our village. Are you getting me? He took it to the village to celebrate his promotion. At least we now have a general, right? From my place. People were happy. They danced. Congratulations. They drank his drink. When he was going back home, he had an accident and broke his two leg. And the man was diabetic. He was a diabetes patient. Though the wound refused to heal until they amputated first leg, amputated second leg. The guy became a cripple. Grugu. They had to retire me in the military. But depression, it just became so depressed. You know, that's part of the secondary complication of amputation. Depression. My dad was telling me, at a point he refused to eat food at home. He said, "What is he still living for? His life is over." And that was how the guy starved himself. He just got depressed until he died. Life is spiritual. You need to understand. Life is spiritual. Somebody innocently went to celebrate his promotion to the rank of major general, and then some people got angry at his progress. See what he wants to show us? Village people. They go do Otumokpo. They say, he no go reach house. I'm not telling you these stories to scare you. I'm just teaching you how to have spiritual intelligence. Life is spiritual. Don't joke with prayer. Did you hear what I just said? Don't joke with your prayer life. Don't joke with your spiritual life, because it controls all other areas of your life, including your financial life. Am I communicating? We started a series, Kingdom Finance. On Sunday, I will be sharing the, you know, I started with natural laws. There, I will share the spiritual laws that control wealth, because money has a deep spiritual root. Are you getting me? I never accept the story or the things you read about how billionaires made their billions, how they became billionaires, without them telling you the spiritual side. If they don't tell you the spiritual side, the story is incomplete. But most of the times in books, they only write the natural side. They won't tell you the spiritual side though. So people will now go and apply all those natural things, and by the time they too don't get the same result, they will now be frustrated. It's because the person has not told you the spiritual side. And most of the time, they don't write it in books. They know they write those ones in books. Oh, you want somebody to tell you that I'm a member of Illuminati, we do sacrifice. You think he will write that one in book? For where? You only write the natural principles there. It's only a fool that will read only that one and think that's all. That's not all, oh. But that one too is important. Put out for pocket. You have to find out the spiritual side of it. Because there are spiritual laws that govern wealth. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? Very important. Life is very spiritual. Kito baraka pakataya. There are families that their entire higher destiny is grounded. Nobody is just making any headway. Nobody is making progress. One problem after, from firstborn to lastborn, nobody is well. Nobody is doing well. It's not normal. There are families that are victims of witchcraft. They are heavily bewitched. Witchcrafted. Is there any English like that? They have been what? Bewitched. If Simon the sorcerer can cast a spell and bewitch an entire city of Samaria, how much more a family? Kelobakasaya. Some of the prayer you are praying now, you won't be the only one to reap the dividend. Your children will reap the dividend. Your children's children will reap the dividend. Your lineage, if Jesus tarry, will continue to reap the... You have to pay the price. See, some of us, nobody has prayed for us. Nobody has made prayer deposit for us. But there are people that... Some people have... Ayagabataya. They have made serious prayer deposit for them, of which they are enjoying the benefits. So you will see that their own life appears to be easier, and they are not praying like you are praying. Then you are now tempted not to pray. You don't know that somebody has what? Sowed the seed of prayer for them, of which they are reaping. If your parents or your grandparents or great-grandparents had paid so much price in the place of prayer, and if they had made so much prayer deposit and sown prayer seed for you, you think your life would be where it is now? Who has prayed for you that you are joking with prayer? Eh? Who has prayed for you? Some of us, the lineage we came out from is native doctors that are there. Praise God. I say praise God. Listen, no prayer is a waste. I've taught you before. Just like people invest money in stock exchange market, they involve invest in stocks and bonds and treasury bills, and then they reap dividends, they make profits, they become rich and wealthy. Do you know it's the same way you can invest prayer and bank prayer for the future? Are you aware? Yes. It was Pastor W.F. Kumuyi, his wife, that said the best thing as a parent you can do for your children is to pray for them. Sow seeds of prayer for them. When you do, you have secured their destiny. The best thing, today is Children's Day, ba? And most parents carry their children to different wildlife park, amusement park, what again? All those things, they carry them to go and see. It's not Christmas time, so I won't call for that Christmas. They take them for fun. Now, those things are not bad. But listen, there are more important things you can do to secure the destiny of your children. And one of them is prayer. The prayer you pray for them, I'm telling you, it has a way of shaping their life and their destiny. Konemoyo said, the life he's living now, his mother prayed it out. And God told the mother. It's as if he's acting out the script. Imagine if the mother had not banked prayer for him. If she had not sown the seed of prayer. Are you getting me? Very important. Why is it that we have so many wayward children? You see, somebody, a child that is nice, oh, when she was at home with her parents, the moment she get admission into university and leaves home to come to school, before you know, she mingled with bad friends. Before you know, she has turned wild on campus. She has become a wayward girl, misbehaving. Some can even join cult. I hear that they are female cult now, black brazier. It's not only male cult. But you know, she's sleeping around with anything. Sleeping around. She has become chartered prostitute on campus. How can good girl suddenly turn into a bad girl? Because she became a victim of spiritual forces. And there was no prayer shield for her. There was no prayer cover. The same thing with the guys. You see a good guy at home just come to school and turn into something else. He's now even the leader, the capon of Black Axe. And his parents are happy that their son is in school. They don't know that the guy has become the capon of a cult self. And then before you know, they even travel to another, I hear they do inter-university fight. Yes, cultists from Unijos can travel to Port Harcourt and go and fight. Maybe they have a mission. And in the process, he was shot or they macheted him to death. And the parents are now crying. They say, oh, he was a good boy at home. But they didn't know what happened to him on campus. As a parent, invest in prayer for your children. Invest in prayer. Invest in prayer. Invest in prayer. When my wife was pregnant, I would be laying hands, beginning with the first child. I would lay hands on her womb, blast in tongue, release prophetic words. This child is a proper child. This child is full of the Holy Ghost. This child is a child of destiny. This child cannot be wayward. This child, the delivery, everything will be normal. I don't wait until one day to delivery to do those things. No. Because as a doctor, I've seen children born with all manner of abnormalities, born with hole in their heart, congenital heart disease, abnormality. Some were born
no ear, born, no limb. What has happened? Is that how God created that child? No. Some demons interfered with the developmental process. Some demons interfered. Child born, crooked leg like this, congenital type. God punish devil. You see, you need to, you need to take charge of life from the realm of the spirit. The spiritual realm is a control valve. Are you getting me? Are you listening? Pola takabaya. Even if nobody had prayed for you, at least you have opportunity to pray for yourself and to pray for your own children too, and for your own generation, because the prayer you are praying now will outlive you. Are you aware? It will outlast you, and it will not benefit only you, even your generation. There are some prayer that our children will not need to pray, because we have already prayed it for them, and they will be reaping the benefits. They will be reaping the harvest. You must learn to invest in prayer. You sow to the spirit. You sow to the spirit. Am I communicating? In the spirit realm, there is nothing like mistake. No mistake, nothing like that. Say a car suddenly lost brake failure, and strayed and hit somebody by the roadside, and the person died. So hard luck. The person, it was a mistake that caused his death. No, it looked like a mistake, but in the spirit realm, it has been ordained to happen. Even though that's not God's will, some demonic forces, they have pulled the trigger for that person to die. So the means by which it is accomplished doesn't count. That's why in the Hebrew language, there is no word for coincidence. The Jews don't believe in coincidence. They believe that whatever happened was programmed from the spirit realm, either by God or by Satan. Somebody programmed it to be so. Why is it that of all people in the world, why is it that is that person the car hit? Nothing just happens. Things are what? Programmed to happen. Just like bad things can be programmed to happen to people, you too, you can program good things to happen to you. It's called favor. Time and chance, the forces of time and chance, you can program them in the place of prayer to happen to you, so that you are supernaturally programmed to be at the right place at the right time, meeting the right people, doing the right thing for your favor. Yes, you can program life from the spirit realm. See, you know, computer, where is witty programmer? There's this thing they call CPU, right? Central what? Is that what controls the computer? Okay, what controls the whole computer? The program. Good. So just like the program controls the computer, you can control the outcome of your life, the event, the happenings in your life, from the spirit realm. The spirit realm is like that program. Are you getting me? Become a spiritual programmer today. Become a programmer of your life and destiny from the spirit realm. Sit in the driver's seat. Don't be a passenger. Hold the wheel of life by engaging spiritual laws of prayer. Am I communicating? When you have this understanding, you will learn to pray better. When it is time to pray, you will not be blamed. When they say pray, you will pray. It does not matter how you feel. If you want to fail in life, just do only what you feel like doing. I'm telling you, you will end up a failure. Because most of the things you need to do, you will not feel like doing them. And if you don't do those things, how will you make progress? How will you become a success? How will you work? Are you getting me? How many of you woke up this morning and felt like coming here for Festival of Fire? No. Your flesh will recoil. In fact, your flesh will fight it. It will fight it. Just the thought of it. Your flesh will give you plenty other options. Must you come? You understand? So the fact that you even fought your flesh and came here, irrespective of what your flesh and your feelings is telling you, is the beginning of your victory. You started winning. We should tell your neighbor congratulations. Because there were many people that lost that battle. Yes. They woke up as they rolled to the right, rolled to the left on the bed. Their body told them, "Chai, today is Festival of Fire. Kai, go suffer again. Forget today. Maybe attend the next one." The flesh will start giving them alternatives. Or, is there no service tomorrow? Just forget today. You will attend tomorrow's service now. The flesh will start negotiating with them. See, if you don't know how to tame your flesh, you will not fulfill your destiny. You cannot even have a successful prayer life until you learn to tame your flesh. You learn to bring it under control, under subjection, to your spirit. That's why I always say, let your spirit rise. Make sure it is your spirit that is in charge. Let your spirit dominate your flesh and your body. Am I communicating? Or else you will end up yielding to the desires of the flesh and the senses. Your flesh does not like prayer. Paul said, "I keep my body under. You must learn to bring it under subjection. You build your prayer life on the word of God and discipline. You don't pray or come for prayer because you feel like it. No. You pray and come for prayer because the word of God commands it. Men ought always to pray without ceasing. He said, pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to give up. It's a command, it's not an advice. And what do you do to a command? You comply in obedience. Then you discipline yourself to do it. Many times, you may start mechanically, no problem. But make sure you do it. You go like this. You feel tired. Just make sure you continue. In continuity, in persistence, in consistency lies the power. You may start mechanically like that, but if only you will persevere, very soon you will make vital contact with the spirit of prayer. Yes. But it's just that many people give up before they get there. Don't give up. Keep pressing. As weak and tired as you may feel, but keep pressing. That's why it's advisable that once prayer is on, don't even sit down. Except you are pregnant, except you are carrying a baby, am I communicating? Try not to sit down. Be on your feet. We are soldiers. The more you stand and move and pace the ground, am I communicating? The better you pray. Or if you sit down, you may soon slip off. You become more tired that way. Am I communicating? As good soldiers, endure what? Hardness. It is stress and strain. It is the stress and the strain through those series of rigorous exercise that soldiers undergo that helps to what? Train them to become who they are. You cannot separate the making of soldiers from those series of rigorous exercise that is stressful and straining. You can't separate it from their making. Go to Zaria, go and see how they train soldiers. They came in as civilians, right? But when they are leaving after, is it 6 months of training? Is it 6 months? When they are leaving there, they live as soldiers, no longer civilians. What's the difference? Somebody say training. The same thing, if you go to NDA, they come in as civilians. After 5 years, they are living as officers. They have been militarized. That's what happens to you in the place of prayer, in a place, in meetings like this. You build capacity. You build stamina. You gain stature with God. Am I communicating? There is an enlargement of your capacity, your spiritual capacity. Am I communicating? You gain stature and stamina. In a marathon race, the person that wins must have built endurance, staying power. Am I communicating? Which country always win that marathon, sir? In Olympic, is it not Ethiopia, Kenya? Which one? Kenya. Do you see how they train? And do you always notice that the people, they don't have six packs, they are not fat, they are not, you see them like that, portable. They look portable. You see them. But try running marathon with them. That's when you will know the difference between physical size and what? People with stamina. They have, through training, they have built stamina, endurance. They have passed endurance tests. So when they start first round, all the people with six packs will be using all their energy to run. By the time they go round one, round two, round three, all those people that were running with all their energy that are in front, they are now gassing out. They are already gassing out. But you see, those that have built stamina, that have undergone endurance testing, you see them taking their time. They may even be the last, but they know that this is not a 100-meter dash. It's a marathon race. Then by the time they have gone the third round, going to the fourth, they know it's going to be seven rounds. Is it usually seven? How many rounds? Marathon, Olympic, standard. How many rounds do they go? Is it 12? Good. Let's assume 12. By the time it's going to that fifth, sixth, seventh, you see them now. The energy that they have stored, now they will now be unleashing it. Before you know, the first is becoming the last. And then the last is becoming... By the time they are going to 10th round, when others are tired and worn out, that's when you see them springing, you see. And then they end up winning. Why did they win? Because through training, they have built capacity, stamina, stature, endurance. You see that? And that is how the race of life is. The race of life is not 100-meter dash. It's not a sprint. It is a marathon race. And in every marathon race, you need stamina. In every marathon race, you need staying power. Am I communicating? Endurance is a necessity. And that's what we build in the place of prayer. As a good soldier, endure hardness. Give me this in Amplified. Toughness. Hardness. Toughness. Shekota. See, if you are hard on yourself during the training process, winning will be easy for you. Life will be easy for you. The reason why many people suffer hard life is because they were not hard to discipline themselves
during their training and preparatory period. Am I communicating? Discipline is the soul of an army. Discipline is the soul of an army. I think it was George Washington that said, discipline is the soul of an army. It makes a small number formidable. It procures success to the weak and esteem to all. Am I communicating? He said, take with me your share of the hardship and suffering which you are called to endure as a good soldier, first class soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 4. Give me verse 4. He said, no soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who has enlisted him. Who is your enlisting officer? Jesus. He enlisted you into the army of the Lord, into the Heavenly Defense Academy. He enlisted you into the army of the Lord. He says your job is to please him, is to do his will, not to get entangled with civilian life. Am I communicating? You must be trained as a soldier in the art of war. Because life is not a playing ground. Life is not a playground. Life is a battlefield. Life is a battlefield. This earth realm is a battlefield. There is a contention. There are two kingdoms here that are clashing. Am I communicating? Life is a battlefield. We are involved every day in a warfare. The day you were born, just like this baby, the moment you land into this, you were born into an arena of battles. So the battle did not take your permission to start. In fact, the battle started longest time before you were born. You were only born into it. So to ensure you are not a victim, you need to have that understanding. Life is a war zone. Life is not a fun fair, it's a warfare. Life is not a fun fair, it's a warfare. We are involved. You know, the Bible says, I think it's Jeremiah 50, is it 51 verse 20? God said, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. Thou art my, you don't talk of battle axe if there is no battle. You don't talk of weapons of war if there is no war. So that's to inform you that there is a battle and there is a war that we are involved in. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. God's method, amen. We are his prophetic battle axes and weapons of war. You yourself, you are a weapon with which God fights. Are you getting me? Break in pieces demonic installations, the works of darkness. Bible says, for this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. All those demons that have sat as augurs and obas over your life and destiny, it takes power to unseat them. Are you getting me? To blast them off. Barriers and opposition to your progress. Kitobola baka sataya. He says, for we wrestle. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle. Present continuous tense. For we wrestle. For we wrestle. For we wrestle. There is a fight. I said there is a fight. That's why I said you must have a fighting spirit. If you really want to fulfill your prophetic destiny, you must be a registered fighter. It's called a good fight of faith. We fight from a position of victory, from a vantage position of victory, but we still fight. The scripture did not say we don't fight. So all those funny teachings some people are teaching, that they say they are new creation teaching, that you don't fight. Jesus has already fought all the battle.
See, when you read the Bible upside down, you will suffer. many of such people like that, that Satan will just be clapping. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can you say you don't fight? The Bible, it is true that Jesus has fought and defeated Satan. Now, it is even on the basis of that. That one is a legal victory. Are you getting me? I taught you that there is a legal aspect of our redemption. Then there is the vital aspect. What is legal has to become vital in your life. And that is where you need to fight warfare. To enjoy everything Jesus has already obtained for you. If it is on the basis of that legal victory, the legal aspect, what Jesus has done, that's what gives you the temerity and effrontery and the right to even fight. Are you getting me? What right do you have to resist sickness if Jesus has not already paid the price for your healing and health? If Jesus had not paid the price, do you know that you don't have any right to resist it if Satan brings it on you? Are you aware? If not for the finished work of Christ, you don't have any rights. So, listen. The finished works of Christ is not the reason why you should not pray. Rather, it is a basis for prayer. It is a basis for a victorious, successful prayer life. It is on the basis of that you fight in prayer. You use that understanding to fight. Are you getting me? So that it becomes your vital experience. It becomes your vital experience. It becomes your vital experience. No, there are people who say, oh, no need to pray, no need to fast. Jesus has fasted for me. Jesus has prayed for me. He has done everything. So they will sleep. And demons are pressing their neck every day. Demons will sit on their destiny. You see? When you read your Bible without a correct understanding of the legal and vital aspect of redemption, you come up with such erroneous conclusion. Are you getting me? Is this Old Testament? We rest. This Apostle Paul, the apostle of redemption himself, is it not the person that gave us all the revelation of the redemption of Christ? Can you know it more than Apostle Paul? Yet, Apostle Paul is telling you that for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, our real enemies are not human beings. Because the human beings you are seeing, they are being remote controlled by demons. They are being controlled by demons. Their actions and reactions. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Then, it started by showing us our real fight is not against human beings. Then he went ahead to show us who our combat is against, but against principalities, against powers, demonic principalities, demonic powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You see. Then he says, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can you give me a New Living Translation? So we are involved in spiritual warfare, in spiritual combat. You see, some Bible scholars believe the book of Ephesians, it represents the peak of the Pauline revelation, the zenith. It started chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Paul shows us our seated position. I think it was Watchman Nee that wrote a book, Sit, Walk, and Stand. Sit, Walk, and Stand. That book is like summary of the book of Ephesians. That sit. The first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul shows us our seated position with Christ. Say we are seated with him in heavenly places in what?
in Christ Jesus. It shows us all the legal aspect of redemption, all that Christ has accomplished for us through his finished works. It shows us our vantage position. It shows us our rank, our position, our rank and position in Christ. Are you getting me? We are seated far above, not near above, principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness. It talks about our authority. It talks about our power, the power Christ has given us, our God-given authority. Our God-given authority in the name of Jesus. It shows us our power, our rank, our position, our privileges and rights in Christ. That's chapter 1 to 3. Then in chapter 4 and 5, walk. No, sit, walk, and what? Stand. Now, chapter 4 and 5, it shows us our walk, our earthly walk, our walk in this life. As in our conduct, our character, our behavior, our interaction with humans, our Christian walk. Are you getting me? So you will see Paul addressing things that has to, he said, let him that steal no more, let him labor walking with his hand. He said, lie not to one another, seeing you have put off the old man. So you see him addressing issues of our walk on earth, our behavior, our conduct. He said, let it be Christ-like. Let us become the epistle of Christ. Then the last chapter, chapter 6 of Ephesians, is what? Stand. You see. Give me verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. So what Paul is saying, that after understanding your position in Christ, your seated position, your authority, your power, your right and privileges, he says, on the basis of that, are you getting me? You walk. And on the basis of that understanding, you stand against the forces of darkness, because there is a warfare. There is a warfare. Look at it. He says, finally, my brethren, my fellow Christians, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Give me an amplified. So this is talking of taking your stand against the forces of darkness in battle, in warfare. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him. You see that? Draw your strength from him, that strength which is boundless might provides. Kaleboko sabalatia. Next verse. Verse 11. Put on God's whole armor. The armor of a heavy armed soldier. Can you see that? I made a statement. I said we are not civilians. We are what? Soldiers. He says if you want to be successful in this battle, in this warfare, then you should be what? You should be well dressed, wearing the full armor of a heavy duty soldier that is going for war. Have you seen a soldier going for war before? You see them wearing those Roman soldiers those days. He says, the armor of a heavy armed soldier which God supplies. God supplies the armor, but it's your duty to wear it. Okay? That you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. You see, you have an enemy. He said, be sober, be vigilant. You have an adversary, Satan. Satan is your real enemy. Satan is the real enemy of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, the gate of hell shall not prevail. Satan is the arch enemy of a believer. He's a defeated enemy, though he is defeated, but he has refused to accept defeat. So you too, you must keep insisting on your victory and keep putting him where he belongs. That's what spiritual warfare is all about. Spiritual warfare, listen, is a fight to enforce your victory in Christ. That victory that Christ has already obtained for you, you still fight to enforce it. You keep insisting on it. And then it's also a fight to enforce Satan's defeat.
Satan the defeated has refused to accept defeat, so it's your job to put him where he belongs. Where does he belong? Under your feet. That's what you do in spiritual warfare. Am I communicating? Because you are dealing with a rebel. Satan is a rebel holder of authority. He's a rebel. So, with your God-given authority and power, you put him where he rightfully belongs, under your feet. You enforce his defeat. You establish your victory. You enforce your victory in Christ. You enforce Satan's defeat. That's what you are doing in spiritual warfare, in summary. Am I communicating? So it's a fight to maintain the victory that has already been obtained for you in Christ. Spiritual warfare is a fight to maintain the victory that has already been obtained for you by Jesus Christ through his great substitutionary sacrifice. It's a fight to experience vitally all the legal aspect of your redemption and salvation. It's a fight to make the legal side of your redemption become your vital experience. Are you getting me? I'm defining what spiritual warfare is about, because many Christians don't understand what spiritual warfare is. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. Psalm 144 verse 1. Palaka brasko teke balakata. Blessed be God, the Lord my strength. This is David writing, the psalmist. Which teacheth my hands to war. Which teacheth my hands to war. And my fingers to fight. You must be trained in the art of warfare. Listen, all this bread and butter Christianity will not help you. It won't take you anywhere. Many Christians don't understand spiritual warfare, neither do they engage in it, and they end up being victims of demonic attack, demonic confrontation, enemy action, demonic oppression. You must be trained as a soldier in the art of war. How can you be a soldier and you don't know how to shoot gun? You don't know how to fight battle? Which kind of soldier are you? Are you getting me? He says, blessed be God. The psalmist said, God trained me in that school of the spirit, in the backside of the wilderness, in the desert. He said, we teacheth my hands to war, my fingers to fight. So that's to tell you there is a war and there is a fight. Verse 2. So that, he said, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, Shalabakataya. Can you hear all this? My goodness, my fortress, my tower, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Can you shout amen? If you want the people to be subdued under you, you must be ready to fight. Your fingers must be trained in the art of warfare. Give me Psalm 18. David talking about similar thing. Give me verse. I say Psalm 18, right? Let's take it from 32. It says, it is Psalm 18, verse 32. It is God that girded me with strength. Oh, I love the psalmist. It says, the Lord is the strength of my life. It is God. See, this is why you can never run out of strength. It is God that girded me with strength. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like the hinds feet. Setteth me upon my high places. Verse 34. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. What? Do you know steel? Do you know steel? Do we have physics people here, engineering people? Steel. What is steel? It's steel, not a alloy. They call it alloy, but iron and what? Iron plus carbon. How strong is steel? Iron and steel, which one is stronger? Steel is stronger than iron. In steel, they used to construct bridges. Am I right? They used it to make bridge. Huh? Very strong alloy is a combination of iron and what? Carbon. Very strong material. David said, God have so trained him that he teached my hands to war, so that a bow of steel, wonderful, is broken by my arms. Is broken as if it's broom. You know broom? You know a break broom? Is it a bow of steel? See, that's the kind of capacity that the training has imparted to him. We have too many vegetable Christians that cannot withstand pressure. Small pressure, they compromise their Christianity. Small pressure, she has slept with her boss. He said, if I don't agree now, he will sack me. As if losing your job equals to losing your life. What nonsense. Christians that are vegetable, they don't have character. No, they've not built capacity. Are you getting me? Every small thing they compromise. Training will help you build capacity. So that in the, he says, give me Proverbs 24 verse 10. He says, if you faint in the day of adversity, he said, the diagnosis is that your strength is too small. It's not God's fault. If thou faint in the day of adversity, and listen, everybody will go through these days of adversity. Challenges come to all. The Bible talks about the evil day. He said, having done all, stand, so that you can withstand the enemy on the evil day, during the evil day. The evil day is that day that Satan decides to visit you and attack you. That's, you are the one on his schedule. You have appointment with him that day. That's called the evil day. Because Satan is not everywhere at the same time. Eh? If Satan is attacking that person, he cannot attack you at the same time. Just like the Bible talks about the day of divine visitation, when God visits people and turn around their story, Satan too has his own. If the day of visitation from the Lord is that day you are having divine appointment with God, the evil day is that day you are having appointment with the devil. But you don't need to be afraid. The only problem is when that evil day catches you unprepared. When you are not wearing the full armor of a heavy duty soldier. That is where Satan gets the upper hand. And then many Christians have ended up casualty because the evil day met them unprepared. That's why you should always be ready. Don't get ready, live ready. Let me preach it to your neighbor. Don't get ready, live ready. Should always be ready. Put on the whole armor. And then if you read down, he went on to list all the armor. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the gospel of preparation of peace, your loins guarded with truth, all of that. They are all part of the armor. And then finally he says, after you have worn the armor, he says, praying with all manner of prayer. So you wear the armor so that your prayer will be effective, because you need all those things to pray well. You need all those things: truth, righteousness, faith. Name all those things that were mentioned so that your prayer will be effective. Because the main job of the soldier on that day serve is prayer. Look at it there. Taking the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit, which is the rhema of God, praying with all manner of prayer. Am I communicating? All manner. In the spirit. That's why praying in tongue is rated above praying in any language you understand. Praying in tongue is rated higher. Listen, there are two ways to pray that your prayer will never bounce. Should I tell you? Number one, pray according to God's written word. Pray in line with God's written word in faith. Number two, pray in the spirit. If you learn to pray these two ways, your prayer will never bounce. Never. Failure proof. If you pray in line with the written word of God, because the word of God is a constitution in the kingdom of God upon which successful prayer is made. You pray according to scriptural guidelines, according to scriptural provision, and you pray in faith, then you pray in the spirit. You pray in the spirit. You pray in tongues. You pray. Am I communicating? You groan in the spirit. Pray prophetic prayer. You see, when you pray in the spirit and you pray in line with the word in faith, your prayer can never bounce. It will always go through. Am I communicating? You know, generally, there are two ways to pray. One, you pray with your understanding. What I mean is that you pray in a language that your mind understands. It's called mental prayer. You can pray mentally. That's in a language that your mind understands. For instance, if I pray in English, I'm praying with my understanding. I'm praying mentally. If I pray, maybe I understand Hausa, my mind knows Hausa, and I understand my tribal language. If I pray in all this language, I'm praying in a language my mind understands. Then the second way to pray is to pray in the spirit. When you switch to tongues, and or maybe groaning, you pray with tongues, with other tongues, or you groan in the spirit, they are all classed under praying in the spirit. When you pray in tongues, your mind does not grasp the meaning. Your mind does not catch the meaning. But God and the angels, they understand you perfectly. Are you getting me? Do you know that praying in tongues is rated higher than praying with your understanding? If I pray in tongues and then I pray in English, praying in tongues is rated higher in the spirit. Because most of the times when you pray with your understanding can be limited based on the information that you have concerning the issue. For instance, somebody can just say, pray for me. I'm believing God for admission. Now, that's it all. I want to get admission into uni, just I wrote jam and all of that. Now, that information, my mind will work with it, right? So when I'm praying, my mind is focusing on those information. But when I switch to tongues, there are many things related to that problem of gaining admission that my mind does not know, that my spirit will pick up. Because your spirit knows so many things that your mind does not know. So when you switch to tongues, your spirit starts attacking the problem from the root. Your spirit, like a scanner, begins to scan the root of the problem and start addressing the situation even beyond what your mind can comprehend. Are you getting me? So that if there is any barrier or demonic opposition that has been stopping the admission, the spirit will go to the very root of the matter and address it there and kill it from there. Are you listening? That's why I always advise people, pray more in tongues than you pray with your understanding. Pray more in tongues than you pray in English. Do 90% of your prayer in tongues. The remaining 10%, use a language you understand. Are you getting? That's why Paul said, I will pray with the spirit first, then I will pray with the understanding also. That before you do mental praying, make sure you have prayed enough in the spirit. Are you getting me? But many Christians do it the other way around. They will first pray in English, Father God, Father God, Father God. When they have finished everything in the language they understand, just to round up the last three phrases, Shalakapakoto. So the tongue now is to... They have turned it upside down. It should have been the English to round up. That's it. That's what the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 14, I think verse 18. Paul said, I will pray
with the spirit. Which one came first? First Corinthians 14:18. You see, the spirit always comes first before your mind, and then your body last. What is it then? I'll pray with the spirit. That's praying in tongues. Praying with the spirit is praying in tongues. Tongues is a language of your recreated woman spirit that God gave you at new birth. Okay? And I will pray with the understanding of the understanding. There is talking of your mind, mental praying. That is in a language your mind understand. It's not that the understanding is not talking of understanding of God's word, though. That's not what he's saying. He's talking of a language that your mind understand. For instance, if you understand, okay, let me ask Faustina, right? Good. She's always wearing eyeglass. Good. Always looking, smiling, happy. How many language can you speak, ma, on earth? What are they? English, Hausa, what? What's it? Zulu language, right? I did NYC in our land. You hear me talk about my adventures in Zulu. She's from Zulu. Now, anytime Faustina prays in English, she's praying with the understanding. If she prays in Hausa, she's still praying with the understanding. If she prays in Zulu language, she's praying with the understanding, because her mind has been trained to know and understand these languages. But by the time Faustina switched to the tongues, she starts blasting in tongues. She's now praying with her spirit. She's praying with what? Our spirit. So praying in tongues is equal to praying with your spirit. Your mind may not grasp the meaning, but the Holy Spirit and the angels, they understand you perfectly. Am I communicating? So praying in tongues, it bypasses your limited human mind. You become unlimited. And do you know that praying in tongues is part of the weapons of our warfare? Go back to that Ephesians 6:18 again. It says, pray with all manner of prayer. And you see, the one major advantage, you see, Pastor Nengub talks about prayer. The exhortation he gave us was about prayer. Very powerful. You see, one advantage of praying in the spirit is that you can pray all the different kinds of prayer in the spirit. Praying with all manner of prayer and supplication in the spirit. Then he said, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So watch this. Can you mention the different kinds of prayer you've been taught? What are the different kinds of prayer you know? Prayer of what? Petition. Prayer of what? Intercession. Prayer of agreement. Prayer of consecration or surrender. Prayer of what? Praise, worship, and all of that. Fellowship prayer, right? Prophetic prayer, name them. Do you know the advantage of praying in the spirit is that you can pray all these different kinds of prayer in the spirit? Look at it there. Give me this in amplified. Give me in amplified. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. Can it be clearer than that? All manner. That means all the different, various kinds of prayer. You can pray them in the spirit when you switch to tongues. You see that? Do you know you can be praying in tongues here, but what you are saying in tongues, if the Holy Ghost is to interpret it for you, is that you are interceding for your father or your mother or your friend or somebody that is even in danger, that Satan has planned accident, you know, you are interceding for the person, and as a result of your intercession, angels intervene, and then the accident did not happen, and you did not even know. You just thought you were praying in tongues in a festival of fire. You don't know you just interceded and saved somebody.
Or maybe they have planned to shoot arrow to fire sickness to the person. Heart attack or stroke, demonic arrow. They have conspired to kill the person. But suddenly you switch into tongues, and your intercession in your prayer in tongue was an intercession that averted that demonic plan to paralyze that person or to kill the person or to afflict the person with sickness. And yet you did not know. You will not know until the Holy Ghost brings it to your understanding. You may not know. So you see, anytime you spend time in prayer, oh, if only God will open your eyes to see there's so many things that is happening in the realm of the spirit as a result of your prayer. I'm telling you, even be more serious. Maybe you set and plan for you to make mistake and marry wrongly, marry the wrong person. I know a lady that we did NYSC together in Zuru, that she got married to a man. The man died 2 years after the marriage. 2 years. Why? He died of kidney failure. She did not know he had kidney failure, and he did not tell her. She got married to him. They dance in church. Hey, I got this kid. So see, don't just marry. You know, some ladies, the moment they see car, the guy get money. That's all. They don't bother to pray. In fact, God have spoken. The moment the man has money, God have spoken. The will of God has been confirmed. That's according to them. They don't even bother to pray. It's when a brother come that doesn't look like it, that's when they will say, give me 1 month or even 3 months. Let me seek the face of the Lord. I'll pray and fast first. That's the truth. You understand? That's what they do to the innocent brothers. You don't know that brother that is wearing slippers and talking to the humble as a lady, don't look down on anybody. You don't know that God have ordained that this guy will be a multi-billionaire tomorrow. Can you see his future? You don't know. There are some men that have money today that just 5 years down the line, they are going to be broke. If you don't have spiritual eyes, you can't see it. So you are making decisions based on what you are seeing physically now. You are carnal. If that lady was spiritual enough, she would have seen that, this guy, he will not last 2 years. He's going to die. It will have helped her decision. But she did not know. You have to become spiritually minded. Are you getting me? Are you listening? You can pray all manner of prayer. A negative event that is supposed to happen next month, next year. You know, are you aware that according to Satan's plan, there are people he has already appointed to die this year? That's, they are not permitted to cross over to next year. There are people like that. They are on satanic hit list to die. They are appointed to die by satanic plan and program. But do you know that evil plan can be averted? Anything that is not in line with God's will can be averted. It can be upturned in the place of prayer with your faith. It can be upturned. Are you getting me? With your prophetic decrees, with your words of power, authoritative words can upturn demonic agenda. Yes. Life is spiritual. He said, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the spirit. In the spirit. In the spirit. As a married woman, learn to pray for your husband. In fact, the number one intercessor for every husband is the wife. as a wife, you must be the number one intercessor for your husband in this wicked world that we are living in. How can you not be praying for your husband? I was watching. Do you know how many women, there are some ladies that is as if they send them from the pit of hell. Their mission and ministry is to marry men. They don't even date single men, who is those that are married. Husband Snatchers Association. They are not very, they are everywhere, but especially all these cities that have money, you see them. As if they are anointed from the pit of hell to be snatching people's husband. And then you are not praying for your husband. Why won't he fall into temptation? Later you now say he messed up. He went and defiled, he broke marital vow. Were you praying for him? Were you praying for him? Did you play your part? There was no prayer cover to shield him. So he fell cheaply like a loaf of bread to the Delilahs and Jezebels of our day. You see them, demons. If you see their eyes itself somewhere, you can even see demons. Everywhere they are there. Social media, you see them there, shaking bum-bum. Demons. You see their eyes full of lust. Demons looking for husbands to snatch. Am I communicating? I was so impressed. I was watching, it was Pastor Kekeba, Pastor Korede Komaya, on Women's Day. He was talking about his wife, that the wife, every Wednesday, she prays and fasts for him. As in fasting, not for anything, for her husband. She will come up with prayer point. Wednesdays is usually for her husband. Praying and fasting. And she has been doing it for the past more than 13 years, consistently. I said, that is a wise woman. Am I communicating? You are praying for a man, to marry a man that is rich. You don't know that your warfare will even be more, and you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to pray. Hey, I pity for you. You marry, your husband is rich, and you don't know how to pray. You are joking. You are joking. Is it not men with money that all those mommy waters are looking for? All those Jezebel and Delilahs, is it poor men that they are looking for to date? Is it men that have money now? So you must be skillful in prayer. You must learn the art of intercession. As a pastor's wife, make your husband your number one project first before you pray for any other woman being. Your husband first. That's the truth. But he's at the forefront of the warfare. In every battle, the enemy targets the commanding officer. He says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Satan is smart. Instead of focusing on killing one sheep, he will just look for the shepherd. But he knows that once he gets the shepherd, the whole sheep is in trouble. Prayer cover. Life is spiritual. Are you getting me? One of the greatest skill that you must acquire is this skill called prayer. One of the spiritual skill set that must be in your arsenal to live a victorious, successful life as a believer is called the prayer skill. Are you getting me? When do you want to be banking? When do you want to start banking prayer? Is it when you are 70 years? Is it when you are having your back is no longer straight? That's when you want to be doing 12 hours. The Bible said it is good. Give me that scripture. Lamentation 3, I think 27. Also, he said it is good for a man to bear the yoke of what? Discipline in his youth. It takes discipline to have a successful prayer life. Lamentation 3. It is good, it's not bad. Tell your neighbor it is good to bear the yoke of discipline in your youth. Not when you are old. The youth have energy. The youth have more time. So the wisdom there is to learn to bear the yoke of discipline. Bear the yoke of this. Let me look for that scripture. Lamentation 3. 20 what? I said 27. Check. It's around either 27 or so. Glory to God. Uh-huh. 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke. Give me this in Amplified. In his youth, not when he is old. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings. Thank you. You see that? You must discipline yourself to pray. Bear that yoke of discipline. Discipline yourself to study. Discipline yourself to subscribe to the required trainings you need to fulfill your glorious destiny, so that you don't end up a failure. Discipline yourself. Am I communicating? A mother should be the number one intercessor for her children. A father should be the priest of the family. Some men here, you don't know how to pray, and you want to marry. And you want to marry. Don't you know that as a husband, you are the one God have ordained as the head of the family government. You are the priest of the home. You are the prophet of the home. You are the teacher of the home. If you don't know how to pray and you are not spiritual, how will you now lead this family well? When the head is sick, the whole body will feel it. Are you getting me? So you now make your wife and children to be suffering for nothing. You expose them to all manner of demonic attack because you are not providing a covering for them. Pray you are playing Ludo, watching Premier League football. You understand? Then demonic attack here and there. Am I communicating? Shalabakoso frakataya. You must bear the yoke of divine disciplinary dealings in his youth. Give me NIV. In NIV, New International Version. Then you give me a New Living Translation. It is good to bear the yoke of this when he is young. NLT, New Living Translation. Shekobakata. It is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of his discipline. Can you shout amen? Can you shout amen? This is very important. You discipline yourself to pray. You discipline yourself to fast. You discipline yourself to the trainings that you are being given here. Am I communicating? You discipline yourself to study. Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, study to make yourself approved unto God. You study the word, you feed on the word, you discipline yourself to study the relevant books and literatures that will help your life and destiny. You study in line with your calling. You study in the area of leadership. You study in the area of finance. You study in the area of relationship and marriage. You study spiritual books. Am I communicating? You study. It may weary your flesh, but it has to be done. Because you must not end up a failure. Are you getting me? Bishop Oyedepo was the one that said it takes a serious approach to have a glorious result. You can't be casual in your approach and have a glorious ending. You can't be casual in life if you don't want to be a casualty. Those who are too casual, they end up as casualties of demonic attack. You have to be serious. It takes a serious approach. Are you getting me? Kelo vrati la bakatea. Jele krondo sovregila kapatonas.
Jeleponda ka branda kapa. Give me Deuteronomy 2:24. Deuteronomy 2:24. Shatatatata. He said, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. He said, behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon. He said, I have given in past tense. I have given Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. These people are in the promised land that God promised the children of Israel. He said, he has given them the promised land, including this one. He says, look at your own part. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. In other words, the enemy will not just hand over the land to you without a fight. The enemy will not just hand over, we say we are taking over the mountains, we are taking over entertainment. It's not with mouth, it's not only with mouth. Listen, the very word takeover is a military term that is used during military campaign. And there is no takeover without warfare, without a fight, without contention. It's a military term. Life is a game of power. Life is a game of power. The strong dominate and rules. The weak is dominated. The weak, they are oppressed and dominated. Life is a game of power. Are you getting me? God has given them, that's prophecy. Now, look at their own role to activate that prophecy to manifestation. He said, begin to possess it, and you will not possess it until you contend with him in battle. That's what we call fighting the good fight of faith. When you fight the good fight of faith, you move the legal aspect of redemption and make it your vital experience. Are you getting me? I have given into your hand. That's legal. Begin to possess him, possess it, and contend with him in battle. It's vital. Are you getting me? What is legal has to become your vital experience. You fight with the understanding that this thing has been given to you. So you use that prophetic word God has given you to fight and engage in warfare. Are you getting me? I have given into your hands. That becomes the legal basis for the warfare. You don't have right to contend with the enemy without that word I have given you. So I have given you is not a license for you to relax and do nothing. So the prophecy there is not a license for laziness or relaxation without doing anything. Rather, that prophetic word becomes the legal basis for which you fight and contend to make that word your what? Vital experience. Are you getting this? Because we have so many Christians that they receive prophecy and then they go and relax. They do nothing. The prophetic word has become the reason for their relaxation. So, if God have said it, God have said it, that settles it. Nobody can change it. Nobody can do anything about it. It will come to pass whenever God wants it to come to pass. So they go to sleep, they do nothing. 10, 20, 50 years until they die, they don't see that word come to pass. It's not because God lied. It's because of irresponsibility on their part. For every prophetic word to find expression and manifestation or fulfillment in the earth realm, you have a part to play. God is always faithful. God will play his part. In fact, God has played his part. He's awaiting you to play your part. You have a cooperative role. You have a participatory role. You have a collaborative role. Am I communicating? You must partner with God in prayer, in faith, to see that prophetic word come to pass. He said, begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. If you don't fight, you will never enter into your possession. Are you getting this?
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Satlong-King or to partner with us, please visit www.agmionline.com. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 006-530-2610 or 0703-699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.